The human brain is, at its core, it's basically a relentless prediction machine.
Right.
Like, we evolve to constantly calculate what happens next.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fundamental survival mechanism.
Yeah, whether that's anticipating a rustle in the tall grass or, the arrival of the winter frost, it's our biological imperative to predict the future so we can survive it. You plan your career trajectory, you put money into a 401k, or, I mean, you check the forecast before you leave the house.
Right. We do it all day, every day.
Exactly. But what if that evolutionary superpower, our deep biological obsession with locking in a probable future, is actually the very thing making us utterly blind to the reality unfolding right in front of us today?
Well, that's the big paradox, isn't it? We tend to treat the future as this destination we are actively trying to colonize. We want to map it, pave it, and basically make it bend to our will.
Yeah, we really want that control.
We crave it, but the irony is that by fiercely gripping a specific vision of tomorrow, we trap ourselves in a very narrow, restricted version of the present.
And that tension between our need to plan and the complex reality of the present moment is the foundation of our deep dive today. We are unpacking a 2018 paper titled Futures Literacy: The Capacity to Diversify Conscious Human Anticipation by researchers Riel Miller and Richard Sanford.
Which is such a fascinating piece of work.
It really is. Now, this is a purely conceptual and theoretical framework, but it is one that could completely rewire human cognition.
Yeah.
The authors propose treating our ability to use the future not as some mystical prophetic talent, but as a literal learnable skill.
Right, just like reading or writing. And once you acquire this literacy, it fundamentally alters how you perceive uncertainty.
Yeah.
You stop acting as a passive recipient of circumstances, desperately trying to guess what comes next. And instead, you start engaging with the world as an active participant in emergence.
So, for you listening right now, whether you are managing personal anxiety about an unpredictable career path, or you're trying to innovate in a stagnant industry, or honestly, you're just fascinated by how the human mind constructs reality, this framework is basically a cognitive crowbar.
I like that. A cognitive crowbar.
Yeah, it pries open assumptions you didn't even know you had. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, to really understand the scope of the author's conceptual contribution, we have to start with the theoretical context of the paper.
Right. And Miller and Sanford anchor their work in the theories of the mathematical biologist Robert Rosen. Rosen provided this really fascinating definition of an anticipatory system.
Okay, let's unpack this. What did Rosen say?
Well, he argued that an anticipatory system is any system containing a predictive model of itself and its environment. And this model allows the system to change its state now in accord with predictions about a later instant.
Got it. So a system changes its behavior today solely because of a model it holds about tomorrow. Like, if I look at dark clouds, my brain's model predicts rain, so I grab an umbrella before I leave the house. My present state changes based on a non-existent future.
That is the basic mechanism, yeah. But the authors highlight a massive evolutionary divide here between non-conscious anticipation and conscious human anticipation.
Okay, so what's the difference?
Well, think about a tree shedding its leaves in autumn. That tree is an anticipatory system.
Right.
It's changing its state now based on the coming winter frost.
Right.
But the tree isn't like consciously choosing to do that, right? It is a hardwired evolutionary reflex. Humans, on the other hand, possess the unique cognitive architecture to actually step back and evaluate our anticipatory assumptions. We can explicitly choose why and how we use the future.
I think a good way to visualize these anticipatory systems is like physical camera lenses.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right, because if you screw an infrared lens onto a camera, you suddenly perceive the world through heat signatures. You see the warmth of a person sitting on a bench, but you completely lose the ability to see the color of their shirt. The lens dictates the reality you have access to.
Yes, the filter determines the data.
Exactly. And if you walk through your entire life wearing only the probability and planning lens, you're only going to perceive data that fits into a neat, predictable cause and effect chain. You will spot the steps needed to get a promotion, but you will be entirely blind to anything ephemeral, spontaneous, or radically novel just because it doesn't fit the rigid requirements of your lens.
What's fascinating here is that the main conceptual contribution of this paper is formalizing a way to actually change those lenses. It's a model they call the Futures Literacy Framework, or FLF.
Right, the FLF.
And the authors argue that historically, humanity has basically been hopping around on one leg. That single leg is a framework they define as anticipation for the future, or AFF.
Anticipation for the future. So this is our default setting, right? We look at the past, we draw a trend line into the future, and we aim for a target.
Yes, exactly. RF is highly teleological.
Wait, teleological meaning it is entirely driven by a specific end goal.
Right. Form follows purpose, yes. You set a goal, you assess the probabilities, and you act to ensure that specific outcome happens. It is all about causal agency.
Like pushing a domino to make the next domino fall.
Precisely. And we have to acknowledge that ARVEV is incredibly effective. I mean, it is how we build bridges, how we manage global supply chains, and organize entire societies.
It's useful, but it's only one leg. And walking on one leg eventually exhausts you.
Right. So the paper introduces the missing second leg, which is anticipation for emergence, or AFE. And this is a massive conceptual leap.
It really is.
It is a way of using the future that completely abandons prediction. When you engage in anticipation for emergence, you are not trying to invent a probable outcome or hit a target. You are using the future without the constraints of causality.
Okay, conceptually, walking on two legs sounds great. But let me push back a little here. If human brains are biologically hardwired to predict and survive, isn't planning inherently necessary?
Well, sure.
Because, like, if I don't plan for my retirement, I'm going to end up broke. It sounds almost irresponsible or passive to suggest we should just abandon causal agency and embrace some abstract notion of not doing. How do we survive if we stop predicting the dominoes?
You are voicing the exact psychological friction that keeps society locked in its current paradigm. We equate agency strictly with control.
Right. If I'm not controlling it, I'm doing nothing.
Exactly. But futures literacy does not ask you to abandon planning. That's a huge misconception. It's about walking on two legs. It asks you to explicitly recognize which filter you are using and to develop the capacity to switch them depending on the context.
Ah, okay. So it's about choice.
Yes. When you are futures illiterate, you are wearing that planning lens without realizing it's permanently glued to your face. Because you are stuck trying to force the universe into a causal chain, you literally cannot search the emergent present for meaning.
Because if a piece of information doesn't help me achieve my predetermined plan, my brain filters it out as noise. It becomes invisible to me.
Exactly. The universe operates on fundamental indeterminacy. Complexity constantly gives birth to discontinuity. You know, radical shifts that are literally unknowable in advance.
Right.
Anticipation for emergence is the stance that allows you to perceive that non-deterministic improvisational reality. You stop trying to wrestle the future into submission and start observing the profound novelty happening right now.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. How do you actually fight millions of years of evolution to switch that lens? I mean, practically speaking.
Right. How do we train this?
Yeah. And the paper transitions from theory into a methodology developed by UNESCO called Futures Literacy Laboratories. These are basically action research tools, these collective intelligence workshops, designed to force the human brain to walk on this second leg. And they do it through a highly structured three-phase cognitive process.
The architecture of these laboratories is fascinating because they don't simply lecture people about complexity theory. They actually force the participants to experience a profound cognitive break.
Which starts with phase one, right?
Yes. Phase one is called revealing. A group is gathered to discuss a complex topic, say, the future of urban living. The facilitators ask them to map out two specific things, their hoped for future and their probable future.
And by doing that, you essentially trick the participants into exposing their lenses. They have to pull their tacit, unexamined assumptions out of their subconscious and literally put them on a whiteboard.
Exactly. They reveal the cause and effect rules they think govern the universe.
Right. Which sets up phase two, reframing. This is the rigorous imagining phase. It's the crucible. The facilitators drop the participants into a radically discontinuous scenario that completely shatters the rules they just mapped out in phase one.
Yeah, and the text uses a great heuristic for this, a kind of cognitive crowbar called the learning intensive society.
Let's make this visceral for you listening right now. Imagine waking up tomorrow and the entire concept of a job has just vanished from human civilization.
Gone.
There are no companies, no salaries, no resumes, no traditional economy of production and consumption. Instead, society operates as this fluid, constantly shifting network where value is generated strictly by how quickly you can unlearn old habits and experiment with new identities.
And in the laboratory setting, participants are given a strict boundary condition. You are not allowed to argue about whether this scenario is likely to happen or, you know, how society got there.
The causal chain is cut.
Exactly. The causal chain is cut. You simply have to accept the scenario as reality and describe how systems of trust, communication, and agency function in this completely alien context.
I can imagine the psychological friction in that room is just intense.
Yeah.
You take a group of city planners or corporate executives, tell them their entire economic model is gone, and they probably immediately try to cheat.
Oh, they try to cheat immediately.
Like they try to figure out how to win the scenario using their old rules.
They absolutely do. Their brains scramble to rebuild those familiar causal models, but the facilitators relentlessly block them. By stripping away their familiar vocabulary and forcing them to navigate a world without teleological goals, the brain experiences literal fatigue.
Wow.
The reliance on the planning reflex is exhausted, and eventually it just breaks. The participants are forced into anticipation for emergence. They can't plan their way out. They just have to conceptually inhabit the space.
Which seamlessly sets up phase three, new questions. This is the integration phase, and it is where the real magic happens. Participants look back at the present moment, not the future, but today, using this new cognitive palette they've just painstakingly developed. And suddenly, the present looks entirely different.
Because they realize that their interpretation of the current moment was being heavily distorted by the expectations they held about tomorrow. Right. By breaking the expectation, the present physically transforms. They begin to notice resources, relationships, and opportunities that were previously filtered out as noise.
And the paper actually backs this up with data from real-world laboratories. They ran these sessions in Paris, focusing on youth to adult transitions, and in Sao Paulo, focusing on the future of universities. And you can literally read the participants' mindsets shifting in their survey responses.
The quotes from the participants are incredible.
They really are. There's a quote from a participant in a Future of Cities lab. Before the workshop, they wrote, "The future is uncertain. I look at the future sometimes with fear." But afterward, the response shifted entirely. They wrote, "Uncertainty is not a threat, can be taken as a challenge."
That shift from existential paralysis to active, curious engagement is the absolute hallmark of futures literacy. Another participant noted that the future simply became a tool to make them aware of their own ideas, their received ideas.
Received ideas, yeah.
The workshop shattered their illusion that dominant societal structures are permanent baselines of reality.
Because if the paradigm isn't fixed, everything is negotiable. I mean, in the Paris lab about youth transitions, participants stopped trying to solve the problem of how youth become adults and started questioning the very administrative constructs of those words.
They transcended the initial problem entirely.
Exactly. But this raises an important question, which brings us to the implications of the paper. Once you break free from these received ideas, what are your actual options for taking action in the real world? The authors map this out in a framework called the Four Quadrants of Agency.
And this is where the theory becomes deeply, deeply practical. The quadrants basically distinguish between changes happening within existing systems and changes coming from outside those systems.
Okay, let's break that down.
Let's start with endogenous change. This is the realm of anticipation for the future.
Change from within. So if we apply this to a real-world scenario, say an entire industry being disrupted by artificial intelligence, endogenous change encompasses two quadrants, reform and adaptation.
Right.
Reform is trying to master the complexity from the inside. Mm. You implement AI into your existing business to do the same tasks 10% faster. Adaptation is shifting your internal model slightly to accommodate the new reality, like retraining your staff to use the new software. Both of these rely on managing risks and making plans within a world you already recognize.
But then you have exogenous change. Discontinuity. This is change driven by logic entirely outside the existing system, and this is where anticipation for emergence thrives. The third quadrant is valorizing the past.
Which sounds counterintuitive at first.
It does, but it involves looking at the friction between the old and the novel and realizing the core value was never the system itself.
Oh, I see. So in our AI example, that would be realizing the true value of your business was never the speed of the output, but the human empathy in the service. So you pivot entirely to emphasize the deeply historical human elements that the new technology simply cannot replicate.
Beautifully put. And the final quadrant is discovery and creation. This is the most radical sphere of human agency. It involves sense-making that seeks to invent entirely new logics. You embrace the ephemeral nature of the disruption. You aren't trying to control the wave. You are learning how to ride it.
And this is where we really need to talk about seawalls versus surfboards.
Yes. My favorite analogy.
Because when you only have anticipation for the future, you look at a massive, unpredictable wave of complexity. And your only conceptual tool is to build a stronger seawall. You try to block the wave, you try to control it and maintain the endogenous system, but a seawall is static. If the wave is too big, the wall breaks, and it is a complete catastrophe.
But anticipation for emergence is the surfboard.
Exactly. A surfboard doesn't attempt to control the ocean. It doesn't need to predict the exact molecular shape of the wave to function. The surfer relies on real-time balance, sensing the emergence of the water, and improvising a path across the surface. You use the energy of the wave instead of resisting it.
And the crucial takeaway from the authors here is that building a seawall isn't inherently worse than surfing. Reforming a system isn't inferior to discovering a new one. Futures literacy is simply the capacity to recognize all four quadrants of agency and explicitly choose which one the moment requires.
Right. Because if you only know how to build walls, every wave is a threat. If you have the capacity to surf, that same wave is an opportunity.
It fundamentally expands your menu of options for engaging with reality.
So what does this all mean? Which brings us to the core reflection of this deep dive. Miller and Sanford aren't handing us a crystal ball here. Developing futures literacy does not overcome the fundamental unknowability of the universe. The future is still going to blindside us.
Of course it is, but it changes our relationship to that surprise. We stop viewing the future merely as a problem we have to solve or, you know, a risk we have to mitigate.
Right.
Instead, we recognize the future as a perceptual instrument. We can use it to deeply engage with the rich, continuous novelty happening right in front of us.
We spend the first two decades of our lives in schools learning how to read text and write essays so we can understand the past and navigate the present. We are heavily trained to be literate in looking backward. But imagine the societal shift if we taught futures literacy from childhood.
It could be revolutionary.
It really would. From a young age, we ask kids, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" That immediately forces their brain into a narrow, teleological planning filter. It demands a causal chain. But what if we taught them how to consciously switch their lenses? What if we normalized anticipation for emergence in our education systems?
We could entirely shift how a generation views uncertainty.
We could potentially eliminate the existential dread of the unknown that plagues so much of modern adult life. Imagine transforming an entire generation's biological fear of tomorrow into an insatiable, fearless curiosity for today. So next time you catch yourself desperately trying to lock in a rigid plan to soothe your anxiety, take a breath, swap out the lens, and ask yourself, what complex, beautiful reality is emerging right now that my plan is completely hiding from me?